As you can see in the, I'm sorry, in the outline here, the burden that we're going to share in this conference is the true worshipers in the age of the New Testament. The true worshipers. I think many of us know this verse and very familiar with it, right, Stephen? I think we have read these verses many, many times. But the question is, did it touch your heart that God is seeking for the true worshiper? Now, if I would ask you this morning, are you a true worshiper? I think many of you will pause and think a little bit, well, of course you will say, yes, I am. But then you will have to prove to me that you are. What is a true worshiper? What constitutes a true worship? You know, this worship, this word has been used by all Christians today. Where do you go on Sunday morning? Well, I go to worship. I go to worship. Well, what do you do? Going to worship. Right? So you can really see that our natural understanding of the word worship is really not adequate. Sorry to say. Right? Of course, according to the word worship, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means to prostrate yourself before God, to bow down with respect, to honor. You bow down, you fear with respect, you worship. And that's why all kinds of worship today, you can see the people kneeling down, bowing down, praying, and having a certain godly fear, which is true. I mean, the word worship did have this meaning. But what about the worship according to God's way in the Bible? What did God say? What He wants concerning the worship? I know what the dictionary say. I know the meaning of the word worship. What it meant according to the dictionary, right? But what about according to God's demand, what you should do? But first of all, I want to say that God, the true God, the living God, He is the only one that is worthy of our worship. 不要随便拜。 拜拜,中国人很喜欢说拜拜,拜拜,你拜什么?真的, we should not worship anything, because this is the commandment of God. You shall not worship or bow down to any idols or gods or any other thing. It's very clearly stated, you can read it yourself. Because God, Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim, He is the only real and living God. So you're not allowed, at least we, the people of God, we are not allowed to just bow down and worship any gods or idols or anything. Right? If I ask you to bow down and worship this table, would you do it, Tao? Why? Why not?
Because it's not.
It's a table, right? Okay, I put another object on this table, a golden cow, and ask you to worship. Will you worship?
No.
No, why? Because it's a cow. It's not even a living cow. Okay, then I form this into a form of God. Guan Gong. Put it here. Will you worship it? People worship anything. They even worship ancestors. And they even worship men. Right. Worship men. The Roman emperors, the Caesars, they call themselves gods and they want people to worship. Nebuchadnezzar wants people to worship his image. And God punished him severely, right? You cannot do that, right? Don't worship anything. Only the living God is worthy of our worship. Now, not only worthy, but the fact that he is God. Because he is God, you must worship him. He is God, the living God. You cannot say, no, I don't want to worship. No, you must worship him. You have to worship God. Because he is God. And you are created by him. You are his creature. God created you. Right? And that's why it's very important for us to know the true meaning of worship according to the Bible, according to what God wants you to do. Right? You have no choice. You have no choice because God is God and you really need to worship the living God. Satan also wants to worship, to be worshipped by man. The devil, he wants to be worshipped by man. You remember the temptation, one of the temptations to the Lord Jesus? Moses, what did Satan say? Bow down and worship me. What is the condition? I will give you, whoa, the glories of all the world, all the riches. You should bow down and worship me. What is the Lord's answer to him? It is written, you should only worship God. Nothing else is worthy of our worship. You should only worship God, and him only shall thou serve. You don't serve any other gods or any other living creatures there. So God is the only one that is worthy of our worship. Now we read in John chapter 4 last night concerning the true worshiper. Let's turn to John chapter 4 again. I think it's very important for us to see something. This is the Lord's conversation to the Samaritan woman. All of a sudden, the Samaritan woman became very religious. She was a sinner, an adulteress. Had five husbands, and the sixth one is not even her husband. Right? And when the Lord exposed that, well, she changed the topic to the matter of worship, which is very good. I think the Lord brought him to that point, brought her to that point. Now, this is an important point now. The matter of the worship. Then the woman said, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Now he is more than a prophet. He is the Lord, God himself. Then she started to say, Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you people, the Jews, say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. In Jerusalem. What is the Lord's answer? What was his answer? Woman? No, the Lord says, what did the Lord say? Woman? Believe me, the hour is coming, and now is, that the true worshiper, or you, will neither worship in this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Right? You worship that which you do not know. A lot of people worship the things they do not know. You don't know what you're worshiping, the Lord said to this woman. 随便拜嘛。 人家告诉你拜你就拜了嘛。 不知道你在拜什么。 So you worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, because salvation is from the Jews. Now, the Jews know who they are worshiping, the real God. Right? Some people didn't know what they were worshiping. Now, the Jews knew what they were worshiping, because salvation is from the Jews. Now, that means that after you are saved, you must become a worshiper. Right? If you're saved, you have to be a worshiper. You have no choice. Don't say, I'm saved now. I receive salvation, but I don't want to be a worshiper. I don't want to worship. No, you have no choice. Salvation and the worship of God must be joined together. Right? Then the Lord said, but an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father. Praise the Lord, worship the Father. Not just God, but this very God is now our Father. So, if He's not your Father, you cannot worship Him. Now, you worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father is seeking such people to be His worshippers. I'm sorry, I'm using New American Standard Version. Because it is thinner and the words are larger. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. That means the certain kind of people with certain kind of worship. Right? The true worshipers. Right. The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be His worshipers. Now, the word truth here, first of all, before we go on, you have to realize what is the meaning of the word truth here. The word truth should be here in this particular sense, translated into the reality, the substance. Because in the New Testament, the truth is not just something that is true. In the New Testament, the truth is a living person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, especially the context here, the true worshiper versus the false worshipers. I wouldn't use the word false, but the worship that is not the real one yet. That means the Jews, even during the time of the Old Covenant, their worship is not the real one yet. Because they're worshiping with the offerings which are the animals. Ox, you bring an ox, you bring a sheep, a goat, and maybe a pigeon. If you don't have a big ox, you bring a pigeon. Right? And so you bring those offerings to God. Are those offerings real? No. What is the true offerings? The real offering is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the true offerings. Hebrew tells us that. The whole book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is the true offering. He is the real offering. The cows, the oxen, the sheep, the goats, the fine flour, the meal offering, the fine flour, those are not the real ones. Don't bring a piece of cake next week to the Father. The Father will not eat your Black Forest cake. He's from Germany, so don't bring to God a Black Forest cake. That's not real. In the New Testament times, the real cake, the meal offering, is what? Is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the reality. He's the true offerings, a spiritual offering. In the Old Testament, the place is a physical place in Jerusalem. That was the place in the Old Testament days. You have to go there to worship. But in the New Testament age, that building is no longer physical, but a spiritual building. It's a spiritual house. So there's a big, big difference. Right? I wish that you could write in your wall from now on, print out something nice. If you're an artist, write a wonderful, you know, paint it, a nice painting there. Worship in spirit and in reality. Amen. Right. And this is what the Father is seeking for. Now, the Lord did not say that God is seeking for, but here, the Father. Whose Father? It must be your Father, our Father. Now, this is really a wonderful thing. Not just the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just Lord, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. You're always calling Lord Jesus. Of course, it's just right. It's not wrong. But the Father is something else. In our relationship to God, you have to have a relationship to the Father. 20-some years ago, I began to fellowship this point with many saints and all the churches wherever I went. Because I realized in the past, we always call Lord Jesus. When you pray to the Lord Jesus. Right? And when you need something, you always call Lord Jesus. It's not wrong. Don't take me wrong, okay? But when the Lord taught the disciples to pray, what did he say? You pray to me? To the Father. To the Father, have you ever thought, how did this God become your Father? Is he your God or is he your Father? Tell me. Both, yes. But how can God become your Father? How can God become your Father? You have to be born again. Many people believe in God, but hey, Paul says, even Satan believes in God and trembles. Just to believe in the existence of God is not good enough. So you sin. But God,大家都信有神,不够。当然有神,你信不信,你不信也是有神,你信有神也是有神,所以神的存在 不在意你信不信,不要说你不信啊,就没有神了,你又信了才有神了,没有,不是这样的, no. You don't think that if you believe, then there is a God. If you don't believe, then there is no God. No, God exists. Whether you believe or not, it doesn't really matter. Right? But now the question is, if there truly is a God, is he just God, the Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth and created you? Of course, God created the heavens and the earth, no doubt about it. But now, this very God is a Father. A Father. Now, what's the difference between God and Father? You tell me. Is he just a God to you or is he a Father to you? No. Is your father just a human being or is he a father to you?
Father.
A father. What's the difference? Just, I'm also a man. He's also a human being. And Tao is also a man. How come he's not your father, but he's your father?
He's my father.
Because you were born of your parents. There's a special relationship. If you have no relationship with this God, he's just God. He's just God. Everybody believes in God. I'm believing God. I'm believing God. It's not good. No, because the Lord Jesus says, nobody can come to the Father except through me. So now, you have to realize that this God wants to be your father. Your father. And in order for God to be your father, his life through Jesus Christ and his spirit must come into you. If he doesn't come to you, he's not your father. If you're not born of God, you're not his father. And he's not your father. And you cannot be his sons. 如果神只是创造者的话，那你只是一个受造物，是不是？但是如果神借着圣灵重生了你，你重生了，得着神的生命到你里面的时候，你不只是一个受造物，你成为一个神的儿子。 这不是小事，那这位全能的神成为你的父，那你与神的关系是一个很亲密的关系，活的关系。The Father, I'm sorry. So without this relationship, if you're not born again, this very wonderful, great God, the Almighty God, cannot be your father. And if he's not your father, your relationship with this God is non-existent. That's why many people, they don't even believe in God. And some people believe in God, but they don't know who he is. Janine, do you know your dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, you better do, right? Yeah, of course. Do you know your father? Yes, you better. Who didn't know his father? Do you know your father? Yes. But there are a lot of people that don't know who God is. God, yeah, I believe in God. Who is he? I don't know. So you worship what you do not know. The Lord told this woman. Right? And then the Lord talked about worshiping now the Father. Oh, this is sweet. This is really wonderful. This is really wonderful. Meaning to say that if you do not have the relationship with this God, how are you going to worship him? Then you'll be worshiping something you don't know. That's why, because people didn't know this living God, they just worship anything. So if I just come and put an idol in front of you and tell you this is God, oh, okay, John, I believe you, I'll worship this God. No. You cannot do that. Right. So, praise God. The Father is the object of our worship. The Father. I cannot express the intimacy. Because if you're not intimate with him, you have no desire to worship him, to love him, to serve him from your whole heart. So, in order to worship the Father, you need to really have such a wonderful relationship. That is why before God, before the Lord talks about worship, in chapter 3, he talks about being born of the Spirit. Being born again. Right? In chapter 3, you must be born again. This is in chapter 3. Right? If you go to chapter 3, let us take a look at chapter 3. Yeah. For the sake of our dear friends who are here this morning, I feel we need to share a little bit concerning this matter. Nicodemus, an older gentleman, right? He's a ruler of the Jews. He came to the Lord by night, verse 2, right, and said to him, "Rabbi, we know you came from God as a teacher." Not he only knows the Lord as a teacher. That's not good. A teacher cannot save you, okay? A teacher can only teach you. But the Lord is more than a teacher. He's a savior. He's God himself, right? So immediately the Lord didn't get into that. In verse 3, the Lord says, "Truly, truly, I say to you." The Lord said, "Truly, truly." I really enjoy that. Because the Lord is not lying to you. 我们的主不会骗你的。我实实在在地告诉你，这个是中文圣经是这样翻译，是不是？我实实在在地告诉你，神不会骗你的。Truly, truly, I said to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to be born again. That means born the second time. If you were born only once, that's not good enough. You only have an earthly father. Right? How many times are you born now, Tom?
Twice.
Wow. My goodness. Look, this man claims he was born two times. Isn't that wonderful? So how many fathers do you have? One on earth and one in heaven. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. So how many fathers do you have? You should say, "I have two fathers. One is when I was born the first time is my mom and dad, my father." But if you only have one father, that's not good enough. Sorry. Only an earthly father, that's not good enough. Sarah, how many fathers do you have? Two. Good. That's wonderful. This is really wonderful. An earthly father sits right here. And who is the second one? Which one is better? No, I shouldn't be asking that question, right? Because it's different. They are both good in different ways, but the Heavenly Father is better. Because the Lord says, if you, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more our Heavenly Father will give you whatever you need spiritually. Right? So, we must be born again. Of water and of the Spirit. Two things. Water definitely refers to baptism. Definitely. Right? Because in the Gospel of John also, even the Lord Jesus was baptized in the Gospel, you can see. And John the Baptist came baptizing in water. Right? But now the Lord is not going to baptize you only in water, but also in the Spirit. The water took care of your past. Bury the past. Put everything to death, the fallen nature to death, and the Spirit brings the life of God into you, into your spirit. So the first birth is to be born of the flesh of the human parents. The second birth is to be born of God through the Spirit. You have to be born again. If you're not born again, better do it now. Receive the Lord, and you will be born again. Right? Now that you are born again, how? Okay, let's just read that verse. 读一读就够了, huh? Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Amen. Amen. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You probably look like your dad. Yes. Right? You look like your dad. Now, do you look like your heavenly father?
I'm working on it.
Working on it. More and more. She said more and more as we grow, as we increase in this wonderful life, the more we will look like the Father. And this is why in the Bible it says we are being transformed. And we are being conformed to the image of God's Son. Isn't it wonderful? You see, the whole Bible is very logical. Right? It is really very logical. So, now, if you are not born in the Spirit, by the Spirit of God, how can you come to chapter 4? Then you can never be a true worshiper. It's impossible. Because it says God is what? Spirit. Not just a spirit, but spirit. This is the nature of God. The substance of God. It is in another realm. We are in the fleshly, earthly realm. Everything is visible, tangible. But there is another realm, which is a spiritual realm, which is not physical, and you cannot see with your physical eyes, but you can only realize it in your spirit. There's no other way. There's no other way. People say, if God is real, show me God. How can I show you God? Actually, He's already there, except you don't see Him. It's not that God will not show Himself to you. It's because you're not qualified to see God. Because you can only see Him and know Him in the Spirit. Many people say, show me God. Well, I said, you have to be born again first. You have to be born again first. If you're not born again, you cannot enter. You cannot even see God's kingdom. 看不见, 因为是属灵的世界, 另外的一个境界, 是属灵的。 我们这个世界是属肉体的, 是, 物质的, 摸得着看得见, 但是属灵的世界, 你不在灵里的话, 你摸不着, 也看不见, 不是没有神, 是你要用你的灵, 来认识神。 Oh, Lord Jesus, it is very important for us to see this. Then we can come to the true worship. So even the Jews, apart from only a few, a minority, the majority, they didn't have the true worship. Because their worship is just outward worship. And that's why when the living Christ came to them, they didn't know Him. Who are you? They didn't know the Lord. Because they only see Jesus according to the flesh. They have no deep realization that this very Jesus is the living God Himself. And that's why the Lord has to do a lot of outward signs. Because if the Lord did not do so many outward signs, they won't know that He is extraordinary. Turning water into wine, can any man do that? Can you make, wow, that would be great, right? Being a German, you don't have to buy wine anymore. Fill the bottle with water and serve in dinner time is wine. Nobody can do that. The Lord did a lot of miracles. He raised the dead. He walked on the sea. He healed the sick. He did so many miracles to show people. And yet, after seeing so many miracles, many of them, the majority, did not believe. That's why the Lord said a word in the Gospel of John. He did not trust those who believe because of miracles. Because if you do one miracle and tomorrow they come for another miracle, you don't do it, they don't believe you anymore. Right. So you need the Spirit. The Spirit to know the living God. And now this living God is no longer just God for you, but He is your what? Father. You need to know this. You know, that's why in the Bible our God is triune. You have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Right. Don't think that, it's so simple. God is God. It's not that simple. No. For our sake, for the sake of carrying out His purpose, especially with us human beings, God has to be revealed in three forms. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three forms must exist, must coexist at all times. For our sake, I cannot fully explain it to you. And you cannot fully understand in the mind, but you can realize it in your spirit. Right. So, the Father, He is God. He's the Father. He's the source. He's the very wonderful, the Almighty God. Right. But the Lord Jesus Christ became a human being, incarnated, to identify Himself with you. So through death and resurrection, Jesus Christ became the firstborn, and we became the many, what? Brethren. And then the Spirit brings everything into you. Now, what is in you is really the Spirit, but it's the Spirit of the Son. So it's the Son Himself too that is in you. But you cannot say, okay, then I don't need the Spirit. Well, no, it is the Spirit, the anointing. He will teach you. He will lead you. He will guide you, strengthen you, give you revelation, right? Without the Spirit, no, it's not possible, because it is the Spirit that comes into you. Right. So you have these three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And now the Son is the reality of all the offerings. So you must learn to now prepare the offerings and bring Christ as the offering, not to Christ. No, you cannot say, Lord Jesus, I bring Lord Jesus to you as the offering. The Lord Jesus says, no, I am the offering. Don't bring the offering to me. I am the offering. So who should I bring the offering to?
To the Father.
To the Father. Yes, but the Lord and the Father are all one. Don't think this way. You cannot fully explain it. We only have one God. We don't have three gods. But these three gods revealed Himself to us. This living God, this unique God. Not three gods, but this unique God revealed to us as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because without this Trinity, nothing can be done. Nothing can be done. It is for the fulfillment of God's purpose with us. Do not analyze too far, otherwise you begin to believe in three gods. No, we don't have three gods. But then do not say they're all the same, so finally we only have one God and that's it. And you mixed everything together. No. It is very distinct. You cannot say the Lord Jesus is the firstborn and we are the many brethren, so God is my big brother. Don't say that. Don't say, God is my brother. No, don't ever say that. No. Jesus Christ, being the firstborn, becoming a firstborn from among the dead, he is our brother because he is like you now. He became a man in order to bring humanity into the throne, to make us sons of God. This is very necessary. So you can tell the Lord, Lord, you're my big brother. Help me. Right? When you have a problem, go to your big brother. But don't say, God is my big brother. Right? But so you, there is a distinction. There really is a distinction. Right? Now, that is why it is important to know the Father. To have a real relationship to God as your Father. I cannot explain this. But there is no need of much explanation. The Father is the Father. Right? You're a father now. And so the children comes to you. They don't call you by name. You're also a doctor. The children, your little girl, Chiara, doesn't come to you and say, Dr. Rimner, did he ever call you Dr. Rimner? No. Father. Right. So, this is a relationship. This is a relationship. We need to have a relationship with God as our Father. It's a different relationship. Right. Christ is a bridegroom, and we are the bride. Isn't that wonderful? We are not the bride of God. But we are the bride of Christ. Amen. Right. So there has to be that kind of a distinction. And it is the Holy Spirit that brings everything in us, the one that teaches all things. Right. So many times within your spirit, you need to learn and say, anointing, teach me. Lord Spirit, teach me. Amen. I need a teaching of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit dwells in you to teach you, to lead you, to guide you, to enlighten you. Right? Well, so this is why it is really wonderful. The prayer of Paul that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. There is a distinction. Right there, you have three. The God of our Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Right? So wisdom and revelation and the anointing within you will teach you all things. Right? This is very important for us to experience. Right? The reason why I'm saying this is that if you don't have this distinction in your experience, how are you going to worship the Father? We always say, Lord Jesus, we worship you. It's fine. You can say that. It's not wrong. But the Lord will tell you the true worship is to the Father. My goal is to bring you to worship the Father. It is fine that you worship me. He is also God. He is also worthy of our worship. That's why we have the Lord's table. Right? But our worship, there is more to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for what he has done for you. But to the real object of worship is the Father. Is the Father. Right? That's why in John chapter 7, I'm sorry, yeah, 14, I'm sorry. John chapter 14, sorry. John chapter 14, the Lord said in verse 6, I am the way. 第六节, yeah. Chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Amen. Right. I am the way to worship the Father. The reality, the truth, the reality of all the offerings and the life, the spirit, it must be living. Don't bring something that is dead to the Father, no. And that is the way for us to come to the Father to worship Him. Right? So it is very necessary for us to see this. Don't take it just as a doctrine from now on to develop a relationship to the real Heavenly Father. Always learn to say, Abba, Father. Father God. Right? For the sake of the newer ones, I like to read Corinthians again. Galatians. Galatians. Chapter 4, let us read. Verse 6. Galatians 4, verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Crying out. Crying out. Learn to do that. Call out, Abba, Father. If you do that, definitely it is a reaction of the Spirit. Right? You join that with Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Amen. So, talking about the Spirit here who dwells in us, verse 15, we have received the Spirit of sonship by which we cry out, verse 15, yeah? Abba, Father. Abba, Father. We have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of sonship. Not adoption, but sonship. As sons, right? By which we cry out, Abba, Father. And then it says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, the sons of God. So, build up this relationship. Because if you don't, you will not appreciate a true worship. That is why many people did not get into the true worship. Many Christians. I'm sorry, even amongst us in the churches. We only are conscious of the Lord as our Savior who died on the cross, rose again, becoming the Spirit come into us. But no Father, hardly. Now, we all need to develop a living relationship with the Father every day. Because if you don't, the Father becomes just a doctrine to you. But a Father should not be a doctrine. The Father has a real relationship with the Son. Right? Now, Sarah, your relationship with your dad, is it a doctrine? It's just a doctrine. Doctrinal father. Is he? How about your relationship with her? Is it just something doctrinal? Traditional? Formality? What is that relationship? It's real. Now, what about our relationship to the Father? If your relationship with the Father is not built up, you don't call on Him, Father, Abba, Father. I want to know you. Right? I want to really come to you, to touch you, to experience the Father. Right? This wonderful, caring, loving relationship between you and the Father. If you don't build up such a relationship, your worship to the Father will be, I don't know what, meaningless. Not so meaningful. No. Build up a living relationship with the Father. Just like your relationship with Christ, who died for you. Is it just doctrinal? I hope not. Right? But our relationship with the Father must be so real, intimate, trusting, loving, caring. Right? Just like what Matthew chapter 5-7 tells us, that our Father there cares for us. He sees everything. He watches over you. Right? He knows every need that you have. You need to have such a living, loving relationship. Remember the Gospel of Luke chapter 15 concerning the prodigal son who returns to the Father. Amen. Right? Many times we thought, oh, Father, it's so difficult to forgive, right? If you did something wrong, you're afraid the Father will not forgive you. I tell you, the Father will always forgive you. Right, all the fathers? We all say so. Every father who has a heart for the kids, all the fathers, whatever the kids do, of course, it's no good if the kids are doing a lot of crazy things, right? But whatever the children do, the father will always forgive. Really, really. This is what the Bible tells us about our Heavenly Father. Develop such a loving relationship with Him. Otherwise, we cannot really go on to worship the Father. And the Gospel of John is a gospel that shows us God is your Father. Right? The Lord says, go and tell my brothers that I go to the Father, to my Father, who is now your Father, to my God and your God. This is the end of the Gospel of John. So, without this life, there is no relationship. But with this life, you must build up a trust and a relationship with the Father. Because this is for the worship. We are not worshiping some almighty God as an object. No, we are worshiping the Father. Sorry, those are here. Worshiping the Father. Don't think this is a small matter. No. No. We all need such a relationship. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.